All right, we are here. Welcome. Welcome. Oh, a bunch of bright lights again for us to look at tonight. What fun. And to work with you. We have established a vortex, as we always have, as we always do. And in this vortex, there are several functions that we are going to be working with this evening. One is to let go of limiting dark negative stuff you don't want. And also, that if you have a program, something that you want to create or manifest, to vision it and dream it, and at certain intervals we can send it out on the vortex to be spread around the whole planet so that your desire, your wish, can become one with the planet. There are other functions of the vortex as well. But what we mainly like to do is to really focus during this time with you on love and healing. Love, because love is the highest vibration. And in that energy of love, as we can touch you, as you allow us to touch you with our energy, with our love, we can also do some lifting, some healing, some enlightening for you. Our mission this evening in particular, speaking about attracting abundance in all good things, does focus on creating a life in which you can have a most wondrous, wondrous time, a happy time, a joyous time, feeling good, and also feeling free, feeling the love, feeling empowered. And out of that, being able to experience the abundance of material things and the abundance of spiritual things that are available to you always at your disposal. For you to be able to connect with a wider range of possibility, and that includes positive as well as negative, you must absolutely be able to expand your awareness of yourself. Because the more that you are aware of yourself, the more aware you are of your reality, and the more you can allow yourself to make a choice about what you wish. It also helps if you can see the full gamut and full spectrum of what is available to you. Because if you see the full spectrum, then you can assign or align your particular boundaries, your particular focus energies. Now, a lot of people say, well, wait a minute. You know, when we think about things that we desire, we want to look at possibilities, we've got to evaluate, we've got to not think about those negative possibilities. Let's not think about things going wrong, right? Well, can you not think about things going wrong? If you try to deny or repress anything, it just tends to make it stronger. It creates a resistance, a friction, if you will, and puts energy into that which you are avoiding. So the point is that for you to be able to look at the whole spectrum of possibilities, and you can look at what are the downsides, what is the dark side, what is the potential limits, and what are the potential freedoms, what is the potential excitement, what's the potential glory that you would like to experience. And so you can look at them one or the other. Now, some people also tend to look at and focus on the negative, right? Okay, I want to make sure it isn't bad, right? So I'm going to explore the bad possibilities. I'm going to look at everything that could go wrong, and I'm going to prepare myself, and I'm going to fix it all now. That way I'll guarantee it's going to be okay. But unfortunately, most of the time when you look at it, things that way and look at that part of the spectrum, you're missing a lot of the intensification, the making real and making rich and colorful that which you do desire. So in a sense, you can imbalance it incorrectly into the dark. Now, part of the reason that it's so easy for humans to do that is because that's the way you've been trained. You've been trained to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, right? That's kind of an old slogan there, right? But if you prepare for the worst, when do you get around to really creating the best? Because you can always keep preparing for the worst. Because since it hasn't happened yet, the worst could still happen. So you have to stay on top of that worst scenario, case scenario, right? You got to make sure, oh, wow, oh my gosh, I thought of another loophole where it could really go wrong. I've got to catch that one. I've got to seal up that little hole. And I've got to seal up that little hole. And after a while, when they say, well, what do you really want? You go, let me think about it, right? So many times we've discovered that the question is, what do you want, is not very clearly answered by most people. A lot of people even come to us and say, Galexis, I'm having a problem. I'm having a problem. I don't really know what I want. I know I want something good. I know I want to be kind of happy, and I want to feel better, and I want some love. And yeah, I like what you're saying, Galexis. I want that love and that freedom and that power. I want all of that and that safety. But when I get down to specifics, I'm not sure. I don't really know what kind of work I really came here to do. I don't really know what my destiny is calling me to do. What in the heck do I do in the meantime? And of course, if you are in that place, or when you are in that place, because everybody has gone through that at some point or another, any time you go through a self-induced change, you will have a difficulty staying aligned in the track that will give you positive results. Because there'll be too many conflictings. Well, what if, and I don't know, and maybe yes, maybe no, and so on. And it's not clear. The information's not clear. But any time you're in a change, it's going to be like that. That's part of the muddle, part of the chaos. Don't hold that against you. Just keep reminding yourself of the essential things that you do want. You do want to feel a sense of glorious, delicious safety. What would your life be like if you really felt completely 100% safe? Not that you were just asserting, I'm asserting, I am safe, I am safe, I am safe, I am safe, there, I am safe. Now, what if you could really feel it and just drench it in and have safety be one of the most natural things for you to feel? What would that be like? What kind of realities would come to you if you could feel completely and totally safe? What would be in sync with that? What would be in rapport with that reality? Most people do understand more about empowerment and not playing the victim and not being the victim, but keeping in one's power and making choices and making empowered choices. But even there, it can get confusing. Empowered choices for what? How to make empowered choices. Now, we did do a love and healing evening specifically on making choices and decisions from that empowered place. And so if you are curious about that, we recommend you go and listen to that. Most people say, I want love. I want love. But most people, especially if it's romantic love they want, they're still in their adolescent selves somewhere. Some old image left over from adolescence, oh yes, or maybe early 20s or something, about what the great love would be like. It's so easy to fall into those old pictures, because when something comes your way, a potential mate shows up, and you feel the resonance, you feel the energy. If it doesn't resonate like it did when you were 18 or 19, you think, well, I guess that's not, you know, that's not it. This person's not it. But you see, that's when your adolescent has dominated you emotionally. So a lot of people are not clear about how to really own a greater empowered, loving state. The thing is that you want to love, and when you love, what do you attract? More love. Right? So we're not here to say, okay, you just must do affirmations, right? Just think about, you know, what you want, what you want, what you want, what you want, what you desire, 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 desire. Manifest those desires. Come on, let's manifest those desires. Get all those guides lined up and let's get going and let's get it down. And I have a deadline for you, guides. You know, you got to get me, you know, so much money by Friday. Of course, guides don't ever work on time deadlines, if any of you have ever possibly noticed. Because as soon as you have a deadline, you're in scarcity and you're not safe. And you undermine your own energy. There are people who do that in love as well. I want to find somebody so close to perfect, all right, that we can just hop into this relationship without all that crazy, painful stuff in between. Let's just go straight in, okay? Let's go straight from here, okay, to marriage. Yes, there we go. But of course, you know, it doesn't work that way. Logically, you know that. Your adolescent self says, no, 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 love is wonderful, it's blind, it's you jump in it and you just get this incredible rush and you're overwhelmed with love and that's what love is. But actually, for those of you more mature, evidently, than an adolescent, love has a steady drumbeat, a warmth, a glow, in your heart, a richness of depth, connecting with that safety, that empowerment, and that freedom. You see, we talk about these four pieces, the power, the safety, the love, and the freedom. And if you increase one, you lift the others up a little bit as well. They're very interactive. One of the ways that you can find out what you're programming, what you're creating in your life, is to do a quick review. How are you feeling as far as your level of empowerment? How are you feeling as far as your level of freedom? Are you free to be who you are? To express yourself the way you are? To live according to your own temperament? And love. Are you loving? Are you reaching out? Are you expressing? Are you radiating your love? And trust, safety, trust. Do you trust the divine plan that you and your higher self, soul, and spirit have created for you? Now, some people, when they think of this, they think, oh, destiny, yes. You know, and a lot of people think of destiny as something that's preordained, that is something given to you that you accept and that you carry as a service. And we would like to say only a few people have the temperament for which that is natural and that is the way to go. If that's you, wonderful. But if it's not you, wonderful as well. Because your way is your way. There's infinite numbers of ways to get to the divine, to get into a life of extraordinary happiness and abundance. And your way is your way. Attracting abundance comes when you hold your resonance of self-appreciation, when you hold your level of love, power, freedom, and safety higher and higher and higher, then the energy that radiates out from you into your reality, that illusion and that world, that material plane, connects with higher and higher frequencies there to bring reflections back to you that are more useful. We say more useful because sometimes when you make a big stretch, you may have noticed that sometimes what comes back to you may not seem to be all happiness and light and wonder and fantastic magic and so on. Sometimes it seems like an old problem has shown up. Well, darn it. I'm just repeating the same pattern I always did before, or at least it's a threat that we could possibly go there. That's the test you always tend to give yourself we can say call it a test. But actually what it is that your reality is saying, okay, here's the place that you always drop the ball. Okay, can you look at it this time before you drop the ball again? You know you're just about to drop the ball. You can feel that energy. You can feel it coming. You can see the changes. You can have the people are saying the such and such and so and this and that is going on. That, boy, that just is right on track with you dropping the ball again. Generally, when people get to that place, they say, oops, what did I do wrong? Nothing. Nothing. What's happening, though, is that your reality works in a way of consistency. Now, you may not think that your reality is all that consistent, but think about it a moment. The kind of patterns that you live, the kinds of ups and downs that you have, the type of adventures that you like, the lifestyle that you live, there's a consistency in there. This consistency is maintained in your subconscious mind. So if you suddenly decide, hey, I'm out of that pattern, I am choosing my power, I am choosing my freedom, I am loving myself, and I step forth and trust more and more, the subconscious mind goes, huh? This isn't what we've been doing. We've been doing all this great crappy stuff so that you could feel miserable and so you could bitch and moan and complain about it or so that you'd get angry and fume and stomp about and or play whatever. Play your games, play your drama games. And so then you go, well, you see, says the subconscious, well, look, you know, you're doing something really kind of strange. So we're going to give you the same old, all right? And we're going to bring to you in your reality everything that you always used to do and whatever. We'll give you the old pattern. And are you sure you don't want that pattern again? If you can understand it's just an invitation from your subconscious and it's not etched in stone, you can say no. And you can say no before you drop the ball. Yahoo! Okay, then you can take that ball and you can go forth. Higher level of success. So to attract abundance, specifically to attract abundance, you want to attract a lot of chaos. Because it's in the chaos that you get the best feedback from your subconscious mind. Because it's going bonkers trying to figure out what the consistent path is here. Okay, you've made a whole bunch of changes. Everything's up in the air. The subconscious going, freak out. Oh my gosh, quick, quick, quick. We got to pull in all the old patterns. Quick, quick, quick. We got to take care of this and get back to order. Law and order. You know, we got to give a routine. Come on, we got to get back there where it's, quote unquote, safe. Actually, it really means, quote unquote, familiar, right? They're busting out of their image, their self-image that they had, and they're breaking and busting out of their story about themselves. Oh my, we can't have that. That's why when you can look at all the options, positive, negative, and all the gamut in between, you have access to tremendous amounts and forces of energy. Mm-hmm. You have access to your guides. You have access to the powers of your universe. You have access to a tremendous spectrum of things. You also have access to your old familiar habits. And you have access to all new possibilities. We have the amen corner going on over here. So to attract abundance, you want to understand that there are two ways of attracting abundance. One is about expanding your self-image and seeing yourself as a more empowered, loving, free, and safe individual than you have been. And be able to stay on top of that subconscious all the time so that when it starts to act up, you can say no. Thank you. The other one is just simply to focus on any one of those four pieces. The safety, the power, the love, the freedom. And really expand it. Expand it hugely. And as you do so, step into the chaos. Just allow that nothing, just kind of blank slate it, you know, that nothing need appear like it has. Now, for most people, this is a bit scary. It's like dropping off the cliff. You don't know where you're going to land, if you're going to land, or if there's something horrible down there you're going to be crushed upon. It's stepping into that void. But if you can do that, you will see that possibilities all over the place are there. And you start playing with them as the artist that you are, as the creator that you are. And as you do that, we call it surfing the wave of possibility. You know, when the surfers get out there, they find a good wave, they jump on the surfboard and they get into position and they work it and they work it and they work it and they can get that wave. The longer they get that wave, the more exhilarating it is. There is a wave there for you. There is a wave waiting for you. And now, at this particular time on the planet, tremendous force of wave. So if you can allow yourself to jump into the maelstrom and get on your surfboard and play with it and not say, okay, oh, here's a good option. Oh, that must mean that this is destiny, that is being sent to us, and that's what we need to do. Don't think like that. That's a disempowered way of thinking. Too many people fall for that one. What you do is that when good possibilities come up, you examine them and say, is this in alignment with who I am, my essential nature, my temperament, the way I like to live my life? Does this align with me, and does this help enhance my sense of power, freedom, love, and safety? Because so many people will get connected to my magic. Wow, magic, 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 synchronicity, synchronicity, synchrony. How amazing for a great opportunity. Wow, what a fabulous opportunity. I must go for it. No. Frankly, if you think about it and realize, for example, that there may be a downside to a particular opportunity for love or money or healing, and if you look at it and you sit with it, and you realize, well, it sounds fantastic, but is it really truth for me? Does it really fit who I perceive myself to be? And if it doesn't, you say no. Say, look, universe, thank you for bringing that. You know, that really got me to thinking about who I am and what I really want and how I want to live my life. Thank you so much. That's really great, universe. But universe, I want you to send me something more like this. And when you and the universe start talking that way with each other, the universe will reply, will send you possibilities, send you options. And if you can look at them and play with them. Now, you know that there is a boundary in you. On one hand, there is, you make things too real. And so you get too much charge on an issue and it gets too hot of a potato to handle. And on the other side, you kind of discount it and you get into fantasy and you get in a, you know, space, you know, get a little spacey with it. And it's like, okay, whatever. And you just kind of see it as this kind of dreamy kind of thing. Someday, you know, my ship will come in. Someday I'll find the love of my life, or someday I'll, whatever it is, I'll make my prince will come. Yes. Someday I'll make that first million. Someday, etc. And that's not real enough. there's a boundary line in between that can be expanded, and that's what we call the reality zone. In the reality zone, or on that line, on that boundary, between too real and not real enough, between too much charge and too much fantasy, is phenomenal manifestation power. Phenomenal capacity to bring in, at any level of abundance, what you desire. A lot of precision and a lot of clarity there. But also incredible amount of chaos, incredible amount of change and freedom and power and love and safety. Can you feel safe in a change? Good challenge, yes? But if you hold that line, you can evaluate what comes in. You can evaluate if it sounds like a fantastic opportunity, but it's really just a fantasy. We have found that's the way that the young adult self, and that's also the part within you that is the young adult you have been, the 22-year-old that you have been, that young adult goes for the fantasy and will trust the wrong people, and nothing will work out because everybody's making assumptions that everybody else is going to do the work or whatever. Or this is the way it's going to look, and this is the fantasy, this is, the big dreams and so on. That's the snag of the young adult. But then, on the other hand, on the too real side, that's the snag of the victim-martyr consciousness. The nobility of struggle. The self-story of, wow, you know, in order for me to succeed, I've got to write this script like a good movie. You know how the hero or heroine has to go through tremendous trials and so forth and to end up successful. Yeah, that's what my life's got to look like. And then you make it too real. Well, your universe doesn't work with you very well that way. Your guides cannot really hear what you're saying. They cannot work with you because if anywhere you are off that line of the reality zone, then if they were to give you what you wanted, it would be a manipulation. It would be a control issue. Because you didn't come here just to fantasize and to get it. The fantasy is just the beginning point. You don't stay there. Some people work too hard to earn something. That makes it too real, so they never get it. It always eludes them. That reality zone is where you can attract magnificent abundance. And the most important thing about it is that what abundance you attract in the reality zone is what you would call really good stuff. Now, really good stuff can also be stuff that the subconscious sends up, say, are you sure? You sure you don't want to, you know, play with this one again? If you are aware and conscious and not way off in making it too real or way off in making it in fantasy, you'll catch it right away. And you just move right on through it. And you'll say, no, this is the way I want it. This is the way I see it. Da, 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 da. Bang. It moves the energy forward at a very good clip. There's an acceleration that comes with it because it's all part of magic, which is beyond three dimensions. Magic is up there in, sixth dimension. So it's not going to be something you can see or feel logically, or you can be real sure about. It's something you've got to choose and be willing to experience. You see, when you expand your self-image, if you expand it with your ego, you will attract all sorts of what you would consider challenges, trials, and tribulations. If you are in the reality zone, loving yourself, not being pompous about yourself, not being stingy about yourself, not being needy about yourself, but in a balanced place with yourself, then what are you going to attract? You're going to attract a relationship with your reality, with your universe, that's workable. And the two of you can work it out and put together something great. And it, after you catch how to do this once, all right, maybe twice, it starts to get easy. It starts to become a natural process because it is natural for you to process what happens inside yourself all day. That's natural for you to be aware of what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you believe, what you're imagining all day. But if you can stay on top of all of that, you'll know where you are and if you're in the reality zone or not. If you feel good, really good, not in that kind of one, two-dimensional way. Oh, everything's so nice. Oh, the happy ending. Which is not real enough. You know, then if you can get in that center line, then you can feel the power. You can feel your juice. You can call your unseen friends, your co-creators, your spirit helpers, your guides. And together, you can create a whole wondrous sequence of synchronicities that can bring you what you desire. Sometimes there are desires that people have over year after year after year after year after year. And this can be a limit as well. If you've had the same desire, oh, I'm going to create my own business doing this and that and the other, and I'm going to make tons of money on it, and I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be rich. Year after year goes by, and you're not rich yet. Then you and your universe need to have some, you know, get together. You need to have a little tete-a-tete. Get close. Get talking with each other. Get really present. If you've been looking for that wonderful love relationship that's going to solve all your loneliness problems, and it goes on year after year after year after year, same thing. Whatever it is that you have that is chronic as a desire or as a limitation or as a lack, whatever your pattern is, embedded in that is all the information you need to bust it. But you need to have a nice relationship with your universe. You can't be sitting around being angry at your universe. Damn it, why aren't you helping me out? Why aren't you helping me out? Because if you get angry and you yell at your guides and so on. Now, frankly, we don't take anything personally. Feel free to yell at us all you want, right? But if you do it with a point that if you yell at your guides and you really are mean and everything, and you're just kind of pushing them and trying to control them and make them bring that reality you want, you're trying to manipulate. As soon as you're there, you're not in safety anymore. As soon as you're there, you're not empowered anymore. As soon as you're there, you're snagged up and you're not free anymore. As soon as you're there, you're not loving. So keeping on track is going to enable you to bust out of any chronic longing that you have. Anything that you have desired, any abundance, just keep track of where you stand on these four points. This is your process. Stay on track with it every day. If you find a really chronic problem that just seems to be embedded in your reality so thoroughly that you can't seem to bust it, then when it starts to act up, just ask your deepest self, is this true to who I am? Is this the truth of me? And wait and listen within yourself. Sometimes just by asking your subconscious goes, well, no, it's not your truth. You've just chosen this so many times. And you keep asking, is this the truth? Is this the truth? And the subconscious says, no, I know it's not the truth. It's just what you've been calling for. After a while, it starts to drop away. It goes down deeper and deeper. It hits the unconscious mind. And when the unconscious mind gets hit, your physical reality shifts. So much has been made of the law of attraction. But sometimes we sense that people spend their time attracting by doing something in their ivory towers, or a nice fantasy, a nice dream, and they don't actualize it because they're not really owning their power, their love, the trust, and their freedom. That's how you attract abundance in all good things, rather than attracting an abundance of yucky stuff. And if yucky stuff comes up, laugh. There you are again. Ha, 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 I caught you this time, and I didn't drop the ball yet. I caught you soon enough to say no. You're the one empowered. You can do it. The thing is that you are attracting things all the time. There's not any time you're not attracting something. It's a process that goes on 24/7. But if you become consciously aware of what you're attracting, it gives you feedback, valuable feedback, for your process, for these four pieces of you. And every time you build the self-image of you having lifted and more brightened these four aspects of yourself, you'll become much more sophisticated in crafting a life that works for you. We have seen it happen so many times. Those who've worked with us on a regular basis have found amazing capacities to really get on a kind of a track. It's not a linear track. It's a much more a circular or spiral track. But find that they can no longer have to resist. There's nothing more to resist. It's all a friendly relationship with the universe. And that safety trust extends into your whole world. Quite magnificent. All right. So we'd like to open it. We're going to do a little meditation on this at the end. But right now we'd like to open it to a question.
Hi, Galaxis. It's Lynn.
Hello.
I have a question about how our periphery affects our abundance. My daughter and grandson's abundance affects my abundance. So I can program and process my abundance. How do I work with theirs? Or is it just, if I do my own, theirs will follow?
All right. Well, there's two aspects to this. If you're doing okay and you're just in your flow and you're working with your abundance and they are impinging on it or needing something from it or somehow or another having a bearing on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to look at the four pieces. First of all, you look at your empowerment. Are you giving power away to them or not? All right. Secondly, you look at your freedom. Are you giving some of your freedom to them? Or you're letting them reduce your freedom? All right. Do you trust that whatever the circumstances are will unfold well? Do you have a certain sense of just knowing that things are going to turn out okay? You may not know exactly how, but you have that sense of knowing. and love. Loving yourself and loving them. And recognizing, of course, that every other human being, child or unrelated person, has their own trip, has their own way, has their own destiny, their own lifestyle. So that you can have complete and total compassion for someone without falling for their limitations, their fears, their negativities, etc. So what we would suggest, dear Lynn, in this particular situation, is for you to just stay on track with your four pieces, with your four core pieces. Okay? Just
okay.
See how that works with it. And if you find that there is some kind of issue that just really gets snaggy and gets you get wrapped up in there, then there's always a cleansing you can do.
Mm.
You can always cleanse. Now, a cleanse is important at times when things kind of get snagged and get garbled or get jammed up, and there's this feeling of congestion. Has anybody ever felt congested? We're not talking about a head cold, but that you get an idea of what that feels like in your head and when that happens in your life, right? That you're just as sluggish, you're not getting anywhere, you don't really know exactly how to make it through the next, what your best moves are going to be. And that's when you look at your four points, your four core pieces. They're the foundational corners, the structures that hold your new reality or hold your resonance in place, your field of resonance, your auric field in place. That's your alignment. If you can stay aligned there, you'll be amazed at how much information comes up. But it's not necessary that you have to cleanse anybody else. Basically, you can cleanse yourself. Now, what you can do, though, is that you can do forgiveness for yourself or forgiveness for other people. And that type of cleansing will work in your relationship. Your connection between them will shift. You understand?
Yes.
All right. And that's very freeing for you.
Yeah, well, I like that.
All right. Because it seems to us that, dear Lynn, that you have had some difficulties feeling really free to be yourself.
Yes, a lot better than it used to be. But
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you're making good progress.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just that this is one of your life focuses.
Mm.
To be free, to be who you are, and to enjoy it just the way it is.
Free to be me.
Free to be you. Yes, absolutely. All right. Anyone else have anything similar to that?
I do.
All right.
Since walking this road or this line is so important and having a nice sense of security and safety, if one is, let's say, riddled with anxiety and doubt, like me, what would you recommend I do to get more open and accessible to the safety feeling so that I can access my guides better, please?
All right. Well, what we see as the road that you're walking, that there is, you're in a sense in a power struggle. There's a struggle of power between you and your world. And is the world going to take over, or are you going to be strong enough to handle it? And by strong, we don't mean tough, okay? That's a kind of the adolescent or young adult definition of strong is hanging tough and so on, being well protected, buffered and so on. And one of the things, though, that happens here is that when you work on your structural pieces, it doesn't matter which one you work on, the safety trust will come along. It's generally the safety trust one is the last one. Now, we want to point out, we did not use the word security, okay? Now, for most people, safety, security. Security is a protectionistic energy. And what energies are in alignment with protectionistic. There's violence. There is a certain sense of like the wolf at the door. Any moment something bad could happen. That type of thing. So security is the idea that if you can lock yourself into a spot that feels safe, relatively safe, and you can really put enough of a buffer, enough of a boundary around it, you'll be okay. Nothing will hit you. Then you're looking for security. But security does not give you any sense of safety. So when you want to raise your safety trust quality, which is generally the last one that comes of the four, by the way, because your culture is a fear-based reality. That's what your culture is about. For centuries and centuries, human race is known throughout the galaxies and the universes as being a violent people. Warlike, aggressive. You know, and part of your destiny or your choice that you came in was to be present during a time where another option, another possibility could be presented that you could explore and share. But in order to really do that, you got to get your love, your power, and your freedom together. And dear one, your power issue is very vacillating. Who do you give your power away to? You do need to look at this a bit more closely. What authority figures do you give your power away? Image or story about yourself, your life story, your core story, do you give your power away to that story? Where do you give your power away to your subconscious, to the routines, to the usual, to the familiar? You want to keep taking your power back as a powerful being, as a light being, pulling your power back to yourself. That's for what we sense for you is the weak one right now. As you pull that one up, then that will enable the others to lift as well. Now, it may not seem like a really nice quick fix, but believe us that if you can do some of it, you can start seeing results rather quickly, actually. It will shallow out some of the intensity of the fear and the anxiety.
Thanks. Sounds great.
All right. Okay. All right. Any other questions?
Yes, right. Hi. This is my first time here tonight.
Oh, well, welcome.
And I'm really interested in your power, freedom, trust, and love. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering, how do you, on the trust issue, I have an issue with that. Mm-hmm. Building trust, being able to trust.
All right.
Oh, my name is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
All right. Well, as we say, that's the last one to come.
Yes.
All right. And if you look at how you're doing with your fear, not with your fear, but how you're doing with your power, love, and freedom, you know, have you noticed how much more growth you've done in those three areas within the past, let's say, year and a half?
I think I'm doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Think you're doing okay, too.
I need some work, but I think trust is my biggest one. I thought it was power, but I think it right now it's really trust.
Right. What we would recommend, just for you to just get into connection with it, is what does safety feel like? Do you have any clue?
I think it feels good.
Well, yes, it feels good. A lot of things feel good. Maybe a cream pie could probably feel good too, but specifically, do you know what the specific frequency of safety feels like in your body?
No, I'm not. This, like I said, this is my first time here. These four words and how you use them are not very familiar to me.
All right.
So,
well, is there a time in your life that you can ever remember where you felt deliciously safe?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. then you have an idea what the frequency of safety is, right? Now, trust is connected to safety, but trust is a sense of knowing yourself well enough to know that what choices you make and how you perceive things is valuable and useful enough for you to make empowered choices. Right?
So trust is knowing that your choices are the right choices for
yourself? No. There's no right or wrong choices. Trust is about knowing that you have the perceptive abilities and the awareness to process input that comes in to you and to understand how that relates to you and how to respond to it. Knowing that you can respond to it in a way that's empowered. Not that it makes a right or wrong choice, but that it's empowered. In other words, you feel strong about who you are and a sense of rightness or truth to yourself in the choices that you make.
Okay, so it's not about other people. It's about
trusting you. No. Trust is really not about anyone else but you. However, if you can trust you, by golly, it really cuts all the crap if you're trying to figure out who to trust out there in the world. Because if you can trust you, you can catch the messages that your universe sends that somebody, for example, is not trustworthy. You'll catch it. You'll know it. But what you tend to do is because you think that you should trust or you want to trust really badly because it sounds like an agenda or an experience that's going to be really wonderful if you could just trust. Then in a sense, you start ignoring all the other messages that your reality is sending you. Like, well, this looks like the same stinker that did this to you 3 years ago. You know, that kind of thing. You'd miss it. You miss the sense that the person, for example, lies to you or is unreliable. You say, oh, yeah, well, and you make excuses for them and so on. And you totally don't get it. That, you see, because you're not perceiving what information you're getting and being able to process it in a way that's useful to you. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. You see, when you start to trust yourself, then you know who to trust.
Okay, thank you.
Now, we want to point out, too, that any time that you choose to trust somebody else, even choosing to trust you, there's a very strong sense of vulnerability that happens. You feel very vulnerable. You could very easily go into a what-if scenario. Right? It's like, oh my gosh, if I trust, I can't be in control anymore. Yeah, you can't be into control. And so many people have found that when they feel unsafe, where do they go? Right away. Oh, I'm going to enlist in the school of control. I'm going to learn how to control. I'm going to control people. I'm going to control circumstances. I'm going to control. You see, and even if you don't feel that you really control that well, sometimes that's the only option you know how to take when you're under duress. It's like, oh my gosh, I feel unsafe. I feel threatened. Okay, I'm going to come back with some control. I'm going to weasel my way into this or that. I'm going to make them feel guilty. I'm going to make them do this. I'm going to and see what I can do there. So when you go for control, if you become aware of yourself going there, you can stop. And as soon as you stop control, you suddenly really tune in to the fear. You tune in to the lack of safety that you were playing with. You really tune in to the vulnerability and the possibilities of anything could happen. You're in the chaos. It's actually an extraordinarily powerful place to be if you can be present with it and not freak out about it. Most people freak out about it. But if you stay in that space and feel the vulnerability and feel the vulnerability and feel the vulnerability and no control, don't control, just feel the vulnerability, feel the vulnerability. the wave will pass. Whew, whew, oh. You will somehow make it through there and still feel vulnerable, but it will feel just a little safer. And in that sensing, you can increase, gradually increase, a sense of personal safety. Think about it this way. In all your life, up to this moment, you haven't died yet. You're still alive. Wow! Pretty amazing. Your body has maintained a certain level of safety to survive. Okay? Think about this. You've been wanting to be in this lifetime. It seems like for a very long time, of course, everything happens in one time, and that is now. But what you perceive is that you've come for several lifetimes, many lifetimes perhaps, and you've evolved. You've become more conscious. You've lifted your resonance. You've lifted your awareness. You've grown, you know, worked your way up the consciousness ladder. And now you gave yourself a lifetime with a challenge that is beyond the dimension of the individual life. It is a life that is connected with your world, because the world is going through this change as well as you. This is a lifetime that is very precious. That's why so many people are on the planet right now. This is the planet is at its most populous as it's ever been. Of humans, anyway. And that's because this is the time to be here. The exciting time. You would not have gone through all those lifetimes, all the rigmarole, all the craziness, and think of all these other lifetimes where you've been a soldier and you've had your head chopped off and who knows what, you know, or burned at the stake. All sorts of crazy scenarios and so on. To come here, to this lifetime, a pinnacle lifetime, a peak experience lifetime, only to just flop, only to fall down on your face and not be able to get back up? No. You came here with a certain directive, a certain sense, there's something I'm going to learn here that's going to launch me, that's going to take me to that level of dimensionality of my power, of my light, of my mission, of my destiny. And here you are. And you're going to get from this life what you want to get from it. You're not going to fail. Okay? Now think about what would your life be like if you absolutely could not fail. We want to point out you're not going to fail. Why not go ahead and live your life like that now? Live your life as the success. Assume success. Because you gave yourself a lifetime that is has an opportunity way beyond other lifetimes. This level of consciousness available right now has not been here before. Now it has, part of it has, at even a greater level, been in the previous, the great ancient civilizations of Lemuria and Atlantis. They both had consciousness way beyond what you have now in perceptions. However, Lemuria was a feminine consciousness. Atlantis, a masculine consciousness. Now, this lifetime, the opportunity to balance masculine and feminine together. Huge. And you're already in it. It's not that overwhelming. That's not huge. But you've got to be able to be vulnerable. You've got to be able to trust that you're going to get You're going to get what you came to get, and you're going to succeed. Now, you may not know exactly what you came to get, but you came to get something having to do with power, love, freedom, and safety. If you work with those, you'll find what you came to get. Thank you for asking that question.